once a month, we give this opportunity to our missions ministry so that they can update you as far as what is happening in missions. And we think that that is important because we believe in the importance of giving to missions. If you are part of a congregation and you're familiar with the Great Commission, well, the Great Commission is domestic and it's also foreign, right? It's daily in our lives, and then we need to be intentional in making sure that we are also spreading the gospel, as the Apostle Peter writes, that all the lands would know of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I just want to encourage you that in your monthly budget to set aside something for missions. And in our church, when you give to missions, it's 100% to missions. There's not a percentage that stays to the church. There's not a percentage that we give to anything else. We give it 100% to missions. And in January, you'll see that. And our church has a budget of $1,400 a month that we are also committing to missionaries, that we send them every month. We have missionaries in different parts of the world. You can stop by our missions bulletin board and see that. And then I love that our missions team a couple of times a year does missions trips. They just went to Guatemala at the end of the month. It's DR. And I want to encourage you, maybe you're feeling, hey, that's me. I want to do something like that. See Sister Elizabeth and say, I'd like to be a part of the team, and I'd like to have that experience. When you go to another place with one goal, sharing the gospel, you come back absolutely different. How many say amen? So if you've never done that, if you've never taken a week of your vacation time to go and just serve other people, I promise you that if you do, it will change your life forever. So I want to encourage you to do a few of those things. Pray for missions. Also, commit financially to missions. Whatever the Lord puts in your heart. I always say, if every church member gave $10 a month to missions, we'd have $4,500 every month for missions, which would be more than enough to cover our budgets and all the extra things. And besides our monthly budgets, the missions teams, they send Bibles all over the place. They help churches. When missionaries come here, we make sure that they go back well. They go back blessed, that they go back knowing that the Lord heard their cry for their particular need. And I always pray, I say, God, I pray that you would entrust us missionaries, that you would bring people that we would have a strong connection with, and we know that they are boots on missionaries, and then our church would commit with them, and that we would do our part in making sure that the gospel is being spread throughout the world. So once a month, we dedicate a few minutes to update you. And why do we do this? Because we want you also to be passionate for missions. We want you to be passionate for missions. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Without missions, the church cannot exist. And without the church, missions cannot exist. Without missions, the church cannot exist. And without the church, missions cannot exist. In every city, in every town, in every pueblo that there is worldwide, a missionary, if there's a church there, it's because a missionary was there first. It is our job to make sure that we are a mission-oriented church. And the church says, I'm going to invite you to stand so we can get right into the teaching for today. As we stand and get ready, I just want to remind you that we have a Connect service tonight at 7 o'clock. If you know somebody who did not make it to church today and they needed to be here tonight, 7 o'clock, we have a one-hour English service. It's very evangelistic. It's a beautiful service. Invite somebody to be here with you. Also, on Friday, we launched small groups in our church. We have a number of small groups that are meeting in different towns of Queens and in Long Island. And if you're interested in uniting to one of those small groups, and I hope that you would be, you could stop by and pick up one of these brochures. Inside the brochure, you'll see the purpose of small groups. And in the back, you'll also see where our small groups are meeting. Here on Fridays, we have two small groups that are meeting, one in English and one in Spanish, 8 o'clock. So you can drop your children off to Missionettes and Roy Rangers and to youth ministry. And then you can join in English, Brother Jorge and Arlene, in Spanish, William and Rosario. And you can have a nice time gathering with people, drinking coffee, and sharing truth. I promise you, you would be blessed in that time. So I'm going to encourage you to stop by and do that. Also, if you are a member of the church, we are looking for ushers, greeters, security people. I'm going to encourage you to say, hey, I'm not doing anything. If you're not doing anything, I need to unite and be a part of some of those ministries. Nursery is always looking for people as well, and you can be a part of that Amen. To our visitors who are, or our people who are viewing us via Facebook Live or Ustream, we pray that the Lord will bless you in a special way on this day. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Verses 1 through 10. It's a great story. Most of us are familiar with this story. I love it. It's a story that always ministers to me. And our theme this morning is the need for a change. The need for a change. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. The need for a change. I love Bible stories where people have encounters with Jesus. When you see those encounters, God moves in their ways in a powerful way. So I love preaching from the Gospels because I love to see the people have an encounter with Jesus where Jesus reaches them. He deals with them and he heals them physically. He restores them spiritually and he restores them socially. It's holistic, our encounter with Jesus. How many know that when we have an encounter with Jesus, it's just not for the moment or the day, but it's holistic. Every aspect of our lives, right? Well, Zacchaeus had a holistic change occur in his life, physically, spiritually, and socially. Zacchaeus is this story, Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed on the sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." Father, we thank you for your word, for it always confronts us, challenges us. It always convicts us and shows us your way. I pray, Lord God, that today your word would convict us, that your word would confront us, that your word would challenge us to change. I pray, Lord God, as we hear your word, that we would open our hearts to hear what you're speaking into our lives, and that you, Lord God, would have your way within the depths of our inner being, O Lord, and the things that we have hid from all others. Know, Lord God, that they're not hidden from you, O Lord. And you speak to our lives to help us bring change to the things that we need change in, Lord. So we ask that you would minister to us today in a mighty way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. The need for a change is our theme this morning. The need for a change. And I want to just mention that for there to be outer change, for our circumstances to change, we need to be more intentional in making sure that there is an inner working happening within us, that God is, we're allowing God to work within us. As we allow God to work within us, the exterior begins to change. As we submit ourselves to God's will and God's way, as we begin to function in God's strength, our exterior begins to change. Our circumstances begin to change. So I was intentional in bringing this type of sermon today because September is considered within ecclesiology like the second new year of the church. You know, everybody's off vacation. Everybody kind of gathers back. Churches launch ministries as we have done here. People get back into their routines. School is on. So we kind of regather ourselves. And they believe and they consider September like the second new year. In fact, if you Google, you know, back to church Sunday, you'll see that September 16th is the Sunday that comes up, which is next Sunday. And people kind of gather. So I intentionally said, let me take an opportunity that we know that people are gathering and we want to finish off the year strong to talk about the need for making some changes in our life. So as we look at Zacchaeus' life, we look at a man that he was a place in his life where he knew that he needed something new. He knew that he needed a change. Wealth did not satisfy him. Having friends did not satisfy him. He lived a life of fulfillment according to those times. Being a tax collector that he was, a chief tax collector that he was considered a well-to-do man under the protection of the Roman government, and he needed the protection of the Roman government because once you become a tax collector, now, although you are Hebrew, you've now become a traitor to your own people because you're collecting taxes from them to give to the Roman government. So you're considered a traitor, an outcast. Many of them were thieves, taking extra for themselves, and they knew that there was protection for them. So tax collectors' friends were tax collectors. And if you read the story in Luke chapter 5, the calling of Mark, you'll see Levi, you'll see that he gathered with his tax collector friends because tax collectors gathered with tax collectors because their own people wanted nothing to do with them. They were isolated from their own people, isolated from their own religion. They were isolated from what they knew because they had betrayed their own people. So here, Zacchaeus, chief tax collector, he's wealthy. He's influential. He has what he needs according to times, according to particular needs. But there was something in his inner being that was not happy. And he knew he needed a change. So he had heard that Jesus was coming into the city. Now, if you allow me the opportunity to do a little speculation, I think we would be okay here. He probably had heard, because the Bible's not clear, but because of his way, it's a good speculation, I think. He probably had heard that Jesus had been encountering and touching and healing and restoring and liberating all type of people. Men, women, Jews, Gentiles, sinners. He probably even heard that one of Jesus' disciples used to be called Levi, right? He now was liberated, and now Matthew was walking with Jesus, who was an ex-tax collector. So he probably said, if he could restore him and help him, who knows what he can do with me? There was probably something in Zacchaeus saying, I need a change. So when he hears that Jesus is coming, the Bible is clear, he was a short man. He climbs up on the sycamore tree with probably his colorful gown because he was well-to-do and looking to see who Jesus is. And when Jesus sees him, calls him out and says, Zacchaeus, come down from there. And the Bible says immediately he came down. And Jesus tells him, today I must. I love that he uses the word must. I must. Abide is the word that the King James Version uses. I must abide in your house today. You see, Jesus was about to do something new in Zacchaeus' life. And I believe that there's many of us that we need to allow God to do a change within us so that he can spark something new in our lives. You know, the prophet Isaiah writes this, that God says in chapter 43, verse 19, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And I love, he says, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not sense it? Do you not perceive it? Do you not sense that it's growing within you? And perhaps you're in a position in your life, a situation, a circumstance, and you know that you got to get it right. And that's God trying to stir up a new thing in you. Do you not perceive it? Do you not sense that it's flowing within you? And maybe you haven't grasped it yet completely, but because it's bubbling up within us, it reminds us that God is doing a new thing. And the church says, so considering change, looking at the story, I'd like to make three observations this morning. The first observation I'd like to make is consider how we are living. Consider how we are living. Right? It is clear that Zacchaeus was in a place in his life where he needed some changes. He no longer wanted to be considered a traitor anymore. You could sense he wanted change. He wanted a reconnection with God. Maybe he wanted access to the synagogue once more. We're not sure, but we're sure that he wanted changes in his life. He climbs the tree to see who this Jesus is. He must have been sitting back, considering, I need some changes in my life. If I would once again allowed to be, to use my imagination, I could imagine him one day just sitting in his home saying, man, I'm not happy. Though I got all this, and I seem by standards of today, I'm not happy. I need change. And he heard, bam, Jesus has been changing all sorts of people. Maybe that's who I need. Maybe you're here today and the Lord is dealing with you as well about change, about doing some things differently. And, you know, a lot of times we want to change our exterior, but the exterior is only the symptom to the problem. The problem is the interior. Is it okay that I say that? Sometimes we're looking at our circumstances and we feel like, man, this is not going well. But God wants to do something in our interior that would allow our exterior to enjoy the fruit of our relationship with Jesus Christ. See, we cannot expect God's continual blessing if there's something not right within us. So this morning, I want to encourage you, if we want change, consider how we are living. And someone say, well, that's easier said than done. How do we consider how we are living? Well, there's a few ways that we can do that. One, what do others say about you? Have you had heart-to-heart, transparent conversations with people who love you and people who are close to you? And be transparent with them and say, hey, you know, how am I doing in your eyes? When was the last time we allowed our spouse to speak truth into our lives and say, hey, you know what? I think that you need to fix some things in your life. I think that you need to pray a little bit more. I don't think you should do that. And I don't think you should. And accept it, knowing that we weigh the words of our spouse not by what they say, but we weigh them by their heart. And their heart is to love us, not to condemn us. So when they say something to try to encourage us, we don't judge the words. We judge the heart. And the heart tells us that it's good and it only wants to bless us. How many say amen? So how many conversations do we have? Do we have others, spiritual leaders in our lives, people that we allow to speak into our lives and hear what they have to say? Consider what others say about you. And if somebody says to you, hey man, you know, you're a little argumentative all the time. You always want to fight. You always want to argue. Don't fight with them. Reevaluate. If someone says to you, you know what, I don't like the way you speak your language, you know, man, you say you're a Christian, but you use those ugly words. You know, don't answer, you know, we're only human, we all get mad. Recognize there's an inner work that God wants to do. What do others say about you? What are others saying? You know, man, you're not as committed as you could be. Well, maybe it's time to be committed. And it's okay that someone speaks into your life. Maybe you're somebody who gets angry fast and somebody says, but you know, I can't say nothing to you because as soon as I say it to you, you get all out of shape. Well, let them speak. Those are changes. Consider how we are living. How? What do others say about us? What are your passions? Consider how you're living. What are your passions? You know, is your passion money? I got to just make money. I got to live the American dream. I got to have the picket fence. I got to have the really nice car. And our passions become money, right? And this is how we're living. Well, if we are, we're going to find that our outside circumstance is never satisfied. Because we have an inner issue where our inner issue has to do with a treasure that's not heavenly, but earthly. You see, so God is speaking to us, man. Well, what are our passions? Consider how we're living. Is our passion God? Right? Awesome to love God. But some people, their passion is ministry. Just love to preach and I just love to teach and I just love, that becomes their passion. Well, our passion needs to be God and we love ministry and we love the other things that we do, but it must stem from our relationship with Jesus Christ and the working of the Holy Spirit within us. That's where it stems from, right? Because we're passionate about God and passionate about God's way, and then he helps us in ministry to serve his people for the glory of the Father. Right? So we're reminded of these things. What are our passions? Some people are so passionate about sports and about politics. They're passionate about these things. And I'm not saying that those things are bad. But we've got to have a hierarchy, a priority. Because if it's affecting the circumstance in which we live, that means we need an inner work in our lives. How many say amen? All right? What weaknesses do we have? We're talking about considering how we're living. What weaknesses? You yourself know what weaknesses you have. You know, maybe, you know, my weakness is I want to be liked by everyone. Man, I just wish to be liked by everyone. I just wish that no one would say anything negative about me. You know, my first few years of pastoring, I used to hear something negative about me. Man, he used to send me crying. Why? I'm a nice guy. Why don't they like me? You know? 10 years later, I've been healed from that. But what are our weaknesses, right? Maybe we have a weakness of a flirtatious spirit. Identify it. Maybe our weaknesses is anger or a lustful spirit or a selfish spirit, and the list is long. You and I can only identify our own particular weaknesses. But if we want change, we must consider how we are living. We must evaluate how we are living. You know, what have we noticed about ourselves? What are our deep secrets that no one else knows? Where are we in our dark places that no one else knows? What are our deep secrets? Consider how we are living if we want change. You know, there's some people, you know, and some people are going to be a little unhappy. You know something is wrong when I can't share my phone with no one. If I don't want no one to see my phone, I don't want no one to look through my history and searching. I don't want no one to know my passcode. I don't want no one to look at my messages. I don't want no one to look at my emails. That means there's something that's inappropriate there and I need to hide it from everybody. Husbands and wives, I encourage everybody to know everybody's information. You need to know it. And I don't even have a problem if you look through it. Someone will say, but you don't trust me? You know what? It's not trust. It's called accountability. Accountability. Let's just change the words around a little bit. Listen, I need my wife to protect me. And if I know that every so often she's on my phone, I'm going to stay on the straight and narrow. Right? So that's okay. What have we noticed about ourselves? What inappropriate conversations or emails have we had or have we entertained? We must consider how we are living if we want change. What types of movies are we watching at home? You know, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine who we share, and he told me, Carlos, I'm not addicted to porn. I don't watch porn. But when I'm watching a movie, I'll look in the back to see if it has sexual content. I told him, you're almost there. You're almost there. What movies are we watching? Consider how we're living, because we allow things into our mind and into our heart that begins to change our outside, our exterior, our relationships. What are we watching? What are we listening to? All these things are important. Consider how we're living if we want change. And the church says, we're talking about change. Our first point is consider how we're living. The second one is consider where we are looking. Where are we looking for change, right? Luke 19:3 says, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed the sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was coming into Jericho, and he wanted to see him. So I imagine this short, rich man hopping the tree to get to where Jesus was. He intentionally created an opportunity to see Jesus. To allow for change in our lives, we must consider where we're looking. Where we're looking for change. Where are we looking for change? Some people are looking in the wrong places for change. You know, I got to change my exterior. I got to change my circumstance. So where are we looking for change? You know, a lot of people look to the church to help them change. You know, if I can just get to a good church, that will help me change. The church can only point the person to the one that makes the change, which is Jesus Christ. Elohim cannot change anybody. We're not that good. We're not that powerful. We're not that mighty. We cannot change anyone. We can only point people to the changer, which is Jesus Christ, right? Some think if I could actively get in ministry, that will help me make changes. You know, if I could teach Sunday school or be involved in a ministry, that will help me make changes. I want to tell you that if you look around, even in recent days, we've had some wonderful people in ministry make some great, great mistakes. Because ministry does not change anybody. There are people who are in ministry that have made great mistakes, who are living in ministry, doing the wrong thing, living the wrong way, hiding behind the curtain of ministry, and they are not right with God. Ministry does not change anyone. Some think, if I could just marry the right person, then I'll be able to make some changes. Oh, that is a formula for disaster. That is the formula for disaster. A broken person getting married just makes more brokenness. Some people think if I could worship in the right music and I could have the right music, that will bring change. No, it just brings us to the presence of God. It's only the presence of God that brings change. Some people think if I could just leave my Bible open to Psalm 91, there'll be no evil spirits coming to me. No, an open Bible by itself will not bring change. You know, if we want to experience change, we need to look for Jesus. We need to look for Jesus. The author of Hebrews says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, consider him, Jesus, right, who endured such opposition from sinners so that you and me will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus did that. He suffered the cross so that you and I will not grow weary and we will not lose heart. And the concept there is spiritual death, so that we will not grow weary and we will not lose heart. This is why Jesus died on the cross for us, and this is why he invites us into relationship with him. And we need to know, if we want changes, if we want to be able to go beyond weariness and go beyond a spiritual death, then we need to seek Jesus. He is the only way. There is no other way. And someone would ask, okay, how do I do this? I got it. How do I seek Jesus? Well, I want to remind you that the Bible says, if you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. I remind you that the Bible says, if you ask, he will give you. If you seek him, you will find him. If you knock, the door will be open. I remind you that the Bible tells us, blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with their hearts. If we seek the Lord, we will find him. If we seek him through scripture, if we seek him through the fellowship of one another, if we seek him through worship. Seeking God, allowing him to speak into our hearts and allowing him to tell us what's right and what's wrong and how to get right and how to stay right. If we allow him to do those things, he will. And yes, for Zacchaeus, there was obstacles. Zacchaeus, his obstacle was that he was a short man, but he found a way. When we seek Jesus, obstacles will come her way. When we really wholeheartedly seek Jesus, there will be attacks. Some of them will be spiritual. Some of them will be cardinal. Some of them will be emotional. Some of them will come from different places and different people. Yes, but we believe that our determination for Christ is greater than our obstacle. So we will seek him wholeheartedly. Yes. If you try to seek Jesus wholeheartedly, you will go through times of discouragement. Family will try to discourage you. Friends will try to discourage you. You yourself will feel a sense of, can I really do this? Can I really live the life that Christ is calling me to live? There is battles within us. The enemy will plot schemes against us. Doubt will try to set in our minds. Is this real? Can I overcome? But the Bible reminds us, greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. The Bible reminds us that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that word, all things there, through Christ, is talking about in His will, in His way. And it is in His will and it is in His way that we be victorious in Christ Jesus. So today I remind you that if we seek Christ wholeheartedly, we'll experience those changes that we need. When I've come encounters with people who need heavy change in their lives, the reality is that their relationship with God has been tarnished. Their relationship with Christ has been tarnished. They're not seeking God. They're not being sensitive to God's will. They're not looking for God. Pride has become their leader. They're led by their own pride. More of themselves and less of Jesus in their life. And when we lead our lives more of ourselves and less of Christ, then our pride begins to make our decisions for us and our circumstances become difficult and hard. But when we allow Christ to rule in our lives, dying to ourselves, denying ourselves, taking our cross, letting Jesus lead us, we find that even in circumstances that we don't understand, there is peace, there is strength, there is this sense of, I will be victorious. Why? Because Christ has led me here. When there is this sense of uncertainty, where there is this sense of insecurity, where there is this sense of, I don't know what is next, is because we put ourselves in that circumstance. But when God has allowed us in certain situations, there is a boldness within us that says, I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. If we want change, consider how we are living, consider where we're looking. And the third point this morning is, consider abiding with Christ. I love that Jesus reached the spot. He looked at him and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay, or the King James Version says, abide at your house today. So he came down at once, welcomed him gladly. Not just a visitation, but a habitation. We've heard that before, right? Not just to come by and stop by, but to abide, a habitation. Once you allow Jesus to enter your house, things will begin to happen. Once you allow Jesus to enter into your life and take place and abide, Becky spoke about abiding last week, right? Once we allow him to abide, we begin to bear the fruit of the Spirit. I love that Jesus tells us today, I must stay at your house. I must abide in you. The key word is abiding. Many seek God and seek religion and seek God through religion and expect things to change in their lives from one day to another. It doesn't work that way. We need to allow God to abide in our homes. And as He does, continual change will occur. I want to remind you that the Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, right? In Christ, abiding, living with Him. There must be a dwelling. We must come to know that Jesus is in our hearts, because when He abides and He sits at the table with us, and I love this concept, and we see this on a few occasions in Scripture where Jesus begins to sit with the people. He sits with them. He abides with them. Different things happen when He abides in your life. He begins to share with you, right? He begins to share and begins to minister to you. When He abides, His attributes now begin to be a reality for you, and He shares His love with you, right? God demonstrated His love for us even in this, while we were still sinners. He died for us. He shares His love with us when He abides with us. He shares hope. He tells us, I know that you can. I know that you'll be victorious. I'm with you. You can overcome. You could have that wonderful home and that wonderful family. And you could be successful in ministry. Why? Because I abide in you. There's hope. There's hope that Jesus is within us. There's forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. When we sit before Christ, we're not judged for our past, and we're not judged for our bad decisions. When we sit before Christ, He abides with us, and His forgiveness reaches every place of our lives. And we can understand that we're no longer condemned by our past, but we've been forgiven and sanctified. And now there's hope and blessings for the future. When we sit with Christ, we understand that His peace will rest on our lives. He gives us peace, not like the world does, right? The world doesn't understand this peace. But when we sit with Him, there is a sense that God is in charge. And because God is in charge, I can experience the changes that I need. I love that when we sit with him, he just doesn't sit there to work in us, but he tells us, I have purpose in your life. I want to use you. I want to bless you. He reminds us that he knows the plans that he has for us, that they are plans to prosper and not to harm us, plans to give us hope and a future. This is what he does when he abides in us. When he abides in us, he doesn't just come empty-handed, but he comes with all his power and all his might to break every yoke of the enemy on our lives, to break every chain of the enemy on our lives. When he comes, he doesn't come empty-handed as a weak God with just philosophy and theology. No, he comes with power and authority because he is the creator of heavens and earth. He's omnipotent. So he just doesn't come to sit with us, to look at us and tell us, you know, I wish things would go well for you. But he says, all that I have is yours. My love is yours. My forgiveness is yours. I have hope for you. I have purpose for you. I have peace for you. I have power for you. When he abides within us, everything that we need for change occurs. That's why it's an inside process. That's why it's working within us. And it begins to move from our interior to our exterior. Because he abides. And when he comes, he is omniscient and omnipotent. He is faithful and good and transcendent and immanent. And all that he has abides within us. And it allows us to bring or produce the changes that we need. That's why the Bible says in our weaknesses, he is strong. Less of us and more of him. So as I need to wrap up our teaching this morning, I just want to remind you, it's a new season. The need for change. Perhaps you're at a place in your life where you're saying, all right, I'm feeling a little void. I'm feeling a little empty. Maybe you got exterior circumstances in your life that you know need fixing. I want to encourage you this morning. Consider how you're living. Take a deep look inside. Ask others what they think about you. Let God speak into your life. What are your passions? What are those secrets that no one knows? Consider how you're living. Consider seeking Jesus. Don't seek church. Don't seek a particular leader or pastor. Don't seek a particular textbook. Or you don't need 7 rules to successful living. Though it's a good thing and we could read those things, but what motivates us in all this? Seeking Jesus. And when you seek Jesus, you allow him to abide. You allow him to abide. You allow him to abide. And when he abides, he doesn't come empty-handed, but all of who he is, the essence of Christ, it's called the triune God, the Holy Spirit, begins to dwell within us, right? And he begins to help us because he doesn't come empty-handed. He comes with love. He comes with forgiveness. He comes with peace. He comes with purpose. He comes with hope. He comes with power. And he comes with all of who he is. And the list is long that we can keep talking. And he comes, and that interior work in us, it begins to bear such a wonderful fruit that we know that everywhere we are in life, God has led us there, and there is a peace and a rest that accompanies us every day of our lives. I'm going to invite you to stand as we get ready to close this morning. Whom have we in heaven but you, and earth has nothing that we desire besides you, O God. Father, we love you and we need you. Each and every one of us here, Lord, we know what it is to do things our way. It only leads us to destruction and brokenness, to circumstances that are heartbreaking and hard to recover from. Lord, we're reminded that it's a new season, a time of change. And we're here today, Lord, because there are some of us that are saying, I need to make some changes. Father, as we Allow your word to resonate within us. We consider how we are living. We are considering where we're looking. And we consider to allow you to abide within us. Understanding, Lord, that if we want to get things right, then that's what we need. Father, forgive us of the times that we've done it our way. And we thank you for your mercies that are new every day. I ask, Lord, that you would help me not just to teach this word, but to apply it to my life as well. We thank you for the privilege that we have always to hear your word, to open our hearts to it, and allow it to lead us every single day. Father, we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you're here today and the Lord is speaking to you, and you would like prayer to help you apply the word to your life, as we sing this next song, the altar is open. I invite you to come. We want to pray with you. And if you're here and you're visiting us and you don't know Jesus, then you absolutely need a change in your life. And it's a new season for you. It's a new season for you. It's a season of change, a season of blessing. I promise you that if you give your life to Christ, your future days will be better than your past days. I promise you, if you give your life to Christ, God's peace and God's strength will accompany you every single day. No longer having to live with a spirit of guilt and regret. So if you're here today and you don't know Christ, the altar is also open to you this morning. As we sing this next song, I invite you to join us at the altar.
Praise God. I surrender.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.